Thanks for listening to Psychedelic Parenting. If you like what you hear, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to our work through the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies or by using our Amazon link to buy the things you need. Welcome once again to the psychedelicparenting.org podcast. I am your host, Jonathan. As I am recording this introduction on Father's Day, I would like to start by saying Happy Father's Day to all the psychedelic dads out there. Thank you to all of you who have so far been a part of this program and to those who will be in the future. I would especially like to thank my own dad, Delbert, who, while not interested in psychedelics, has always supported me in being nobody other than who I am. He and my mom have been incredibly supportive of this work, watching our children when we go to conferences, and helping us out whenever we have need. My dad taught me how to sit calmly and wait for a fish to come to me. He taught me how to use interesting pieces of scrap wood to build things, and how to be the kind of dad who does his fair share of the housework. He also instilled in me that nothing is more important on earth than our family, and taught me how to put my quest for God above all else. Thank you, Dad. I would also like to thank my psychedelic dads who have influenced this work from the beginning, Dennis McKenna and Rick Doblin. Dennis convinced me 3 years ago to get out and meet new people in the aftermath of my psychedelic reawakening, and along with his daughter Caitlin was my first interviewee as I explored the world of psychedelics in family life. Rick Doblin of MAPS was the first person to seem even more excited than I was about my little website a few years ago and encouraged me to go deeper with it. He and MAPS have continued to support this work through their fiscal sponsorship, which allows people to make a tax-deductible donation to our show. So happy Father's Day, dads. I wouldn't be who I am without you. Another important date in my life coming up on Thursday, June 23rd, is my 15th wedding anniversary, and I would like to take this moment to thank Nicole, who is my best friend, my business partner, the mother of my kids, and the sexiest woman I know. She contributes the Is This Your Normal webcomic, which periodically appears on our website. She was also my high school sweetheart, and we fell in love for keeps on a school trip to the Stratford, Ontario Shakespeare Festival way back in 1995. We've lived in a cooperative yoga community, started the work of raising 3 kids, and still, I am more and more crazy about her every year. So thank you, baby, for loving me. Thank you for sharing the healing spaces that we've held together, and for almost always being willing to take on another interior adventure with me. I am yours until this heart stops beating and I return to the source. Finally, I would like to remind everyone that tomorrow, June 21st, is the deadline for submitting your abstracts to be considered for a speaking place at Beyond Psychedelics 2016 in Prague this September. It promises to be a very interesting experience, and we look forward to seeing many of you there. Finally, without further ado, I would like to introduce today's guest. With me today is Mindy West. Mindy is an intuitive and a coach. She does life purpose readings and helps others find their life purposes. She is also the mother of one son and has just returned from spending about a year living in Iquitos with her son, and I will soon be moving to Mexico. So we're really interested to hear your story, Mindy. So welcome.
Thanks, Jonathan.
So tell me about your life experiences that brought you to the transformative experience that you wanted to share.
Sure. So my whole life started to change a few years ago, about 3 years ago. I was a new mom and thought that I had it all. I had just bought a house and had a great job, and I worked from home and didn't have to work too hard and made a great income. And I thought, you know, life's pretty good. Life's great. And then I went through a divorce and it changed everything. Suddenly I was a single mom. I still had my cushy job and house, but the whole perspective of life changed for me. And it was, what am I doing here? Why did this happen? I don't understand. Everything was going great. Like, how did this come about? And not to get into any of the details, but it was just a real eye-opener of what happened and And this really left me like with this huge hole in my life. And I was thinking, what is it that I need to do? Like, I felt like my soul was hurting and I still had my son, and it's really hard. It's hard to be a parent. It's harder to be a single parent. And I think it's even harder to be a heartbroken parent with a heartbroken child mm-hmm. that doesn't want to sleep mm-hmm. and cries all the time and misses his dad. And it was at this point in time where I received this email into my inbox that said something about life purpose. I don't know. It was from Mind Body Green, and I read the article and I was like, wow, I need to talk to this lady. And I set up a session with this lady who became my teacher for a life purpose reading. And when I did this reading, it was the first time I started to feel like a relief of this pain. Mm. And it all started to make sense. These experiences that I had living in Peru in the Amazon prior, before I've been back and forth to Peru, to the Amazon for the last 8 years. So it all started to make sense. Why did I have these things? Why did I, you know, have this little monkey that son's dad had bought me, this little monkey, when we were traveling together? And when I was pregnant with my son, I even thought, I hope I can love my son as much as I loved this little monkey, mm-hmm. which sounds ridiculous. I know, but I had never had a child. I don't think I even had held a baby before I gave birth to him. And suddenly I did this life purpose reading. It all made sense because I just knew I had this connection with the jungle, with the animals, and with the plants. And I started to heal these issues that were going on within me. And it led me actually to quit my job. Mm-hmm. I was a marketing consultant up here in Seattle. So I decided to quit the job and move back to the jungle where I felt like my heart belonged. And that's kind of where it all started. It was started with starting over. Mm-hmm. And it was the most transformational thing because I go to the jungle and, well, now what am I doing here? I just show up and without a plan, of course, mm-hmm. Who makes a plan, right? Just get on a plane with a toddler. And what was I thinking? Now I look back and I think, oh, what was I thinking? Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I got into Iquitos, Peru, and the first thing I do is I go to this restaurant on the boulevard. For anyone that's been to Iquitos, down on the Amazon, I think everyone knows it, that goes there, and I sit down, and this guy is sitting next to me and starts commenting on my son because he was like banging the glass tables with his toys. I know, you could, 2 years old, right? Banging the glass tables and just creating chaos. Uh-huh. And he just starts commenting, like, I think he's going to break those. Because he has a adopted Peruvian daughter. Mm-hmm. And we struck up a friendship. And this is the person that ended up introducing me to ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. And I think it's no coincidence that I sat down at that table that day at a restaurant I usually wouldn't go to because I would usually go to a local restaurant. For some reason, I decided to sit there and strike up a friendship that still remains to this day. And this person introduced me to ayahuasca and brought me to a center, which is Phoenix Ayahuasca down in Iquitos, and really transformed my life. And so I say, throughout all of this, the medicine found me. Mm-hmm. I lived in the jungle before and I never drank the medicine, but it brought me back and it found me.
Interesting. So tell me how you having been in the jungle that long, what finally made you say, oh, I should have this experience?
Well, I knew I was going to try ayahuasca this time. Mm-hmm. And it actually came up in my initial life purpose reading with my teacher that ayahuasca was a huge part of my purpose. And it was interesting because I had never tried it. It was intriguing. I just never had the right opportunity when I was living there. And so I had the intention to try it out when I went back to Iquitos. But I must say it definitely wasn't the reason I went there, right? Mm-hmm. I went there thinking that I was going to work with the animals, with the monkeys. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I was going to try it, but I just felt like it was going to be such a profound experience, I had to do it with someone that I really trusted.
Sure, sure.
So it took me a few months of living there and going out to Phoenix Ayahuasca and building this friendship with the owner, whose name is Mark. Mm-hmm. And it took me like a few months of this to just feel comfortable enough to say like, okay, this is where I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. And I also had had developed a relationship with the staff, so I was able to bring my son, and he was able to stay up there while I was doing ceremony, and he was able to sleep with the housekeeper. Yeah. Wow. Well, mm-hmm. yeah. So it had all the pieces had to fall into place, the comfort, the trust, and of course somewhere for my little guy to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. So tell us what that that first ayahuasca experience was like for you and how it changed the way you were thinking about the way things were going.
Well, the first experience I had, it was the first time I had ever slept separate from my son. Mm-hmm. And it was like this warm motherly blanket that just came and surrounded me. And I felt so loved and so cozy and just so cared for by the medicine. And it was just bliss.
Mm-hmm.
It was exactly what I needed. And I needed to rest. And I needed a night off of being a mom.
And, yes.
Yeah, we all need those.
We do.
Yeah. And it was just amazing. And so I can't say I had very many visions, but it was a feeling of so much love.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I guess I got hooked.
And, tell us a little bit more about your healing in terms of like coming to terms with your sense of loss and the end of your relationship.
Yeah, it, over the next few ceremonies, it was incredibly transformative. I cannot believe the amount of healing that I got. And what was really amazing is that before I really started on drinking ayahuasca and connecting with this medicine, I was sitting in meditation one day and basically came through that your healing is just starting. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, wait, my healing is just starting. I've been on this path for a year. How has it not started yet? Right. But it was true. Looking back, it was so true because the healing with ayahuasca is so profound. And I was able to see my son's dad. And actually, one of my very first real visions was of him burying him, like at his funeral. And I had my son in my arms and we lowered him down in the casket and shut the casket door. And my son threw flowers on him and we started to bury him. And it was just this goodbye.
Wow.
It was really an intense goodbye. And I was bawling, of course.
I bet.
Yeah. But there was a comfort in being able to let go.
Mm.
And even as time went on and the ceremonies went on, I've always, continued more healing about him. And even in my most recent ceremony, I had seen how the stories that I had built up around this person, that he's the only person that I've ever loved and how could I ever love anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing that purging out of me and purging out all these other people that I've actually loved, mm-hmm. whether or not in a romantic way, but still the capability to love
mm-hmm.
other people. And yeah, the healing has just been incredible. And I think back now to, had I not had these experiences, what would my life have been like? I would still probably be in some kind of depression. I probably would not be as good of a mom to my son, because when you're still in such a wounded state, it's really hard to give your whole love to someone else
mm-hmm.
and for a child. It's very hard when you're so sad. I couldn't imagine what life would be like if I didn't go through these. Mm. I definitely would not be this happy
mm-hmm.
as I am right now. Yeah.
I feel the same way. After my first ayahuasca ceremony, I was able to break a long-standing addiction to alcohol. And it was amazing the way that I just felt like I was all of a sudden present for my kids in a way that I was never really able to be when I was drinking. Even if I wasn't, you know, mad or, you know, like in this like aggravated state, I still was like not really present for them. And after my experience with the medicine, I just felt like this is the most important thing in the world, like being present for this person and showing them love and compassion, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like night and day, the difference.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I know before I really started working with the medicine and healing myself, life was really hard for me as a mom because I loved my son, but he was very sad, you know, mm-hmm. and he was, my friends would say he was the terrible twos on steroids.
Mm.
He was all over the place. And there were times I would just think if I knew someone that would adopt him, that would do a better job of raising him than I could, wow. I would give him up because it was so hard,
mm-hmm.
so hard for me. And I must admit that in Iquitos, I had him with the nanny a lot because mm-hmm. I just couldn't emotionally deal with like the difficulties. I was always there for him. I always woke up with him. I always put him to bed. We always ate lunch together, but it was the in-between times of, you know, the afternoon or, you know, the mornings mm-hmm. that I would have him with the nanny because it was just too hard to be on it all mm-hmm. the time because mm-hmm. I was dealing with myself. I couldn't get out of my own trauma mm-hmm. in order to help him. And as I went along with progressing with the medicine, those thoughts started, you know, less and less,
mm-hmm.
less and less. I can't do this. Less and less. Why is this so hard? Why me? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, I love this little being so much, but I can't do this. You know, those stopped, it stopped being a daily thing. Then maybe it became a weekly thing. Then maybe it came once a month. And then, oh, I haven't had that thought in 6 months. Right.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Year. So it's really incredible how the transformation within yourself, it affects everything that you do.
Yes.
And then not only did it affect me, like wonderful, but the biggest joy that I've gotten out of this is how it's healed him.
Mm.
Yeah. Because children, especially the little ones, they just are mirrors for us.
Mm-hmm.
They show us what we're happening, like what's going on inside of us. They just know, and he's super intuitive and really connected with the spirits, and he's just really sensitive. And as I started healing myself and becoming happier, like magic, he calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
He started becoming happier. He mm-hmm. stopped reflecting my vibrations of anger and sadness and despair. And he started reflecting my vibrations of, oh, happiness. Oh, you know, excitement, mm-hmm. calm, collected together. And that was the biggest surprise for me. It's like, wow, how is this even working? I don't even understand how this is working right now that I'm healing myself and my child's being healed.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So tell us a little more about your son.
Well, he is 4 years old now. And he is half Peruvian. So his ancestors are actually from Iquitos,
mm-hmm.
Peru. And his father's from Pucallpa, Peru. So he definitely has that jungle baby boy in his blood. He loves the jungle. He loves being out there. He still tells me he wants to move back to Iquitos.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been here in the United States for like 10 months now.
Mm-hmm.
He still wants to move back. He loves the jungle. And it's the most interesting thing because I can tell he's very, very aware of everything that's going on. He'll tell me, mom, there's a ghost in the room.
Mm.
Or, I really like the rainbow ghost, which I think is probably a ghost with very enlightened or very lit up chakras.
Mm-hmm.
He says ghost, spirit,
mm-hmm.
whatever word works for him, works for me. he knows when he's scared. He calls on Archangel Michael and it calms him down. He's, mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see where he goes with his spirituality and growing up with an openness mm-hmm. to all of this. I'm not going to shut down his curiosity about all of the things on my altars, like my shakapa. He'll run around the house playing, you know, the shakapa mm-hmm. and with the rattles and drums. And it will be interesting to see where he goes.
Cool. Yeah. I'm interested in how, like, so what do you think it is your role in shaping or guiding your son's spirituality?
I think it's my role to be open to what he sees and not shut him down. And mm-hmm. I also think it's my role to be keep him safe mm-hmm. and help him feel safe, because he sees these spirits that I can't see. I mm-hmm. don't have that gift. And honestly, it scares him. Mm. It scares him a lot. Not all of them. The supposedly rainbow ghost, he really loves. The angels he likes. Mm-hmm. But the ones that just come to visit, I don't know. I try protecting the house. I try setting boundaries. I'm at a loss with this one. I don't know what else to do, actually, to try and keep this from scaring him. And all I can do is be really present with him, and he knows that I'm there. Mm-hmm. Right? So I feel like his spirituality will go on a journey just like mine did. Mm-hmm. And everyone's does that comes into it. And he will learn exactly what he needs. And I'm just here as a guide to support him and not shut it down.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, being that you have come from a country where ayahuasca is not only legal, but is held up in as the national patrimony, but also you're moving to Mexico in a place where ayahuasca is legal. I'm interested in hearing, when do you think is, like, how old is old enough to begin to introduce our children to these medicines?
Right. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer to that, because I know moms that have drank ayahuasca during pregnancy mm-hmm. and felt just fine with that. Mm-hmm. I also know a lot of people would never let their child touch that. I think that being open about what's going on and allowing them in ceremony, I would be happy to allow him in ceremony once he can fall asleep on his own mm-hmm. without, you know, without bothering me too much about it. So I'm definitely open to including him in that as mm-hmm. far as actually drinking the medicine and having a full on vision. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We're not there yet. I can tell right. you at 4 years old, we're not there yet.
No,
and I'll let you know later on
yeah.
where we are.
Right.
Yeah. What's your opinion on it?
You know, I never give a straight answer in regards to this, because, you know, that there are traditions where children are introduced to the medicines at pretty early ages. Yeah. You know, I know that some people in the Santo Daime often will welcome their kids into the full ceremony, the full work, as young as eight years old. And, you know, like you were saying, mothers will drink ayahuasca or drink the daime during pregnancy, and they'll put some on their nipple before the baby drinks drinks mother's milk for the first time. So that it's really woven into the culture. So I don't sort of think that there's like a too young of an age, but at the same time, I don't think that here in the United States that, you know, then sort of among sort of gringos, that we don't really have a good, a cultural container for these experiences in young people. And like, sometimes we have a hard time even figuring them out in ourselves. So to, you know, introduce a young mind to that experience when there's really no one who can adequately guide them and how to react to it and how to integrate it into their lives and have there be a place in the society to accept the experience and, you know, consider it to be like not a crazy thing. I think that once we get there, then there'll be more room for young people's having experiences. But as we stand right now, and we don't really have that container. So I think you have to be pretty cautious.
I agree. I could just imagine having your 8-year-old in ceremony and them going to school the next day and telling their teacher and calling Child Protective Services or something.
And like, even if that wouldn't happen, you still, the kid wouldn't have a place to go to get, you know, nurturing guidance about the experience other than just, you know, us.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree, because I think so much of the experience happens after the ceremony. The ceremony is just the beginning of the entire ayahuasca experience. I haven't drank it for months, and just because I've been up in the United States, and it's still working on me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can tell you it's still working, and I'm still integrating all the experiences and all of the things that I've learned from my ceremonies and just from feeling connected to the plants and to Mother Ayahuasca. I still integrate it every day. And even my whole business is built on what I've learned from ayahuasca.
So why don't you tell us about your work? Like what kinds of guidance you offer and your services and how you've like come into that work because of ayahuasca.
Sure. Well, I right now I help people come into their life purpose and live a life that's aligned with their soul. And I guess what that means is it's part helping people really discover what their life purpose is. So many people don't know why they're even here right now. And I certainly was at that point a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So I help people figure out why are they here, and then work, do coaching with them so that way they can really integrate that into their life. And what I've learned from ayahuasca is that it's great to have the insight. The reason why people don't know this is because of all the layers that they have on top of themselves. So without all the layers that we've, you know, traumas from being alive, being human, growing up in our society, it's all of these things on top of us that are kind of like blinding us. It's keeping us in a fog. Mm-hmm. And so for ayahuasca, I've learned that it's about pulling all that off, and you're naturally whole. On the inside, you're whole. You know everything that you need to know and why you're here, and you can hear your soul's guidance. You have intuition. I believe everyone has those things. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of getting there. So that's what I really work with people, is to let's pull off all these layers. If you want to work with ayahuasca, great. I support that completely, and we'll integrate that into our work together. And if not, and it's not for you, great. That's fine too. And we'll use other ways of healing and getting you, like, clearing up the channels, clearing up the baggage. Let's clear you up so that way you can really come into your purpose and thrive and do what you need, like what you're here to do. And it's just amazing, because when you're doing what you're meant to do, you're so happy. Mm-hmm. Like, your soul is just smiling, because it's like, yes, this is why I came here. And it's a lot of people think my life purpose is this one thing, but it's that one thing, but it's a lot of things. It's caring for your children is part of every parent's purpose, guaranteed. And then there's other things that they come here to do, to make an impact in this way, to work with this group of people, that there's, you know, it's like their soul decided, this is what I need to do here on earth in this lifetime. And as you step into that purpose, it just evolves and it grows and then it expands. And it's really beautiful to see when people step into this. Wow. It's almost like all the pathways open up. And it's all green lights from here. And I mean, of course, things happen and life goes on and it's not, you know, 100% cruisy, but it gets a whole lot easier when you're aligned with what it is that you need to do. Mm-hmm. You're happier, and therefore your children are happier, and your children grow up seeing parents that, you know, that have really chosen a life to be happy and fulfilled rather than just work the 9-to-5, pay taxes, save up for retirement, and hope they make it there. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a totally different experience for everyone involved. So
what do you think is one or two big mistakes that people make in getting to where they want to go, or to being in that place where they're fulfilling their life purpose?
I think people's, the biggest thing would be their fear. Fear gets in the way. And I'll be honest, I've had my fair share of fear, but at some point the desire to do it just outweighs the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be the fear of what will everyone think of me? What will my parents think? What will my spouse think? Will I be able to support myself doing this? Mm-hmm. What if I don't want to give up my job and give up the security I have? And the reality is you don't have to. You don't have to give up anything to do what you're meant to do. If you need to give it up, then you will. But I think people just have this idea that if they live their purpose, they're going to have to make such drastic changes in their life that they won't even, you know what to do. And that's really it doesn't have to be the case. And I've heard that too with ayahuasca. I was down in Iquitos once having a coffee with someone, and I asked them, you know, about ayahuasca, if they wanted to drink ayahuasca, and they said no. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay. Why not? You know, you're in Iquitos.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, cause I'm afraid that if I drink ayahuasca, I'm going to quit my job, leave everything that I have in life, and then go to Africa and save orphans. And that's what I'll be doing. And it will change me that much. And I don't want to do it. Yeah.
Wow. Like,
okay. Fair. That's a fair answer. Sure.
And I think it's not a wrong assumption necessarily. That's what's interesting. The things that I've seen with these experiences, not just ayahuasca, but other psychedelic experiences that people have had, is that, you know, sometimes people will tell me, well, I don't want to, you know, go crazy or like, you know, lose my mind or something. And I always tell people that's really not the danger of these experiences. The danger is that you will like realize what you're doing isn't what you're supposed to be doing, and your life will change, and you might end up making significantly less money than you would have if you had had these experiences, because you'll have different sets of values. And yeah, your life is going to change because your values are going to change.
Right.
Yeah. A friend of mine and I were deciding that we should do a lecture or write a book called Psychedelics Ruined My Life.
I love it.
Just because it changes so much. It changes so much, you know? And
right.
A lot of times the choices people make them in the long run, they probably will be like less financially stable than they would have been if they had stayed with, like you said, the 9-to-5 and the 401k and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They could. I think it all just depends on what you desire, right? Because I also believe that there is an infinite source of abundance out there, and doing whatever it is that you do, you can make plenty of income, whether you want to be a coach or you want to save orphans in Africa. There's still ways to make plenty of money and save and put it
mm-hmm.
against your 401k. You just have to tap into the right, you know, path mm-hmm. to do that. And again, right, it depends on your values. Maybe at that point you don't value that anymore, and it really just doesn't matter to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's always there. I think it's always available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell us about your upcoming move to Mexico, where you'll be moving to, and what do you see the next chapter being for you?
Yeah, so I'm really excited about moving to Mexico. I think the most amazing part of it is that about a year and a few months ago, maybe a year ago, I created this vision board, and everything on that vision board has now come true with this move to Mexico. I want to live on the beach in a jungle area. Maybe it's not as dense jungle as the Amazon, but like tropical jungle. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to go down to the jungle at any time, come up here to Seattle at any time, work from my laptop in a hammock strung between two palm trees. That's the dream. And
sounds good.
Yeah, right. And it's happening. It's all happening. Of course, there's a few other things on there, like going to yoga every day and great education for my son in a community that's really we thrive in. And I found him a great Waldorf school down in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. which is a bit south of Cancun, between Cancun and Tulum. And so for the immediate future, I see going down there and, you know, getting to know it. I've actually never been to Mexico, but I wanted to find a place that feels a bit between America and Peru. Mm-hmm. So not as remote as the jungles of Peru, but not as developed as America. Mm-hmm. So I think I've found it, at least if Google is telling me. And go ahead.
I was going to say that Tulum is one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there with my best friend when I was, it was the summer before I was a freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. And we went on this mission trip with our little church, and we got to go to like Tulum and to Uxmal and to Chichen Itza, and the town that we were staying at, that we built this like wall around there, the courtyard of their church. And it was like right on the Gulf of Mexico. It was an amazing experience.
Wow. That sounds incredible.
Yeah. And that, yeah, Tulum is this amazing place, you know, right on the ocean, these ancient ruins. It's one of those like places where like, just the spiritual energy of it just like takes your breath away. And I knew it when I was, you know, I was in middle school and I could feel it.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. My long-term plan for going there is I'd like to open up a retreat center. Mm. So I would like to include ayahuasca and probably cacao and sweat lodges. Of course, mm-hmm. not all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Separate times, but that's what I'd like to have available. And I've seen that in a vision that I had, was that I need to work with these three medicines and kind of bring the teachings from each together. Mm-hmm. And so now I finally am at that place where I can see how I can make it happen.
That's exciting. Right?
Yeah, it's super exciting. So my dream has been for a while to own a retreat center and do online courses, which I know these things sound like totally different ends of the spectrum, but I love technology and how amazing things, just like how connected we can be and how much you can learn. I am an online course junkie, so I have so many online courses. It's like the number one way I learn. So it's been my dream to be able to do both of those. And right now I'm launching my course, the Discover Your Life Purpose course. And that's for people that maybe aren't ready to work with me one-on-one, but so that way they can go through the ways through 4 weeks, which actually was guided by ayahuasca, 4 weeks to discover your life purpose. Mm. So that will be launching at the end of this month.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. So that's another thing that I'll be doing in Mexico, is developing more my online platform for this and the in-person retreat center, and working more with the medicines. And especially since it's legal down there, I'll definitely be getting back into it more.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe a place eventually where like families would be welcome. That'd be a really cool thing.
That is high on the list of priorities. I want to have retreats where families can come, and there's lots of like nannies there basically to be able to watch the children and make sure that they're enjoying themselves, but that the parents also get a break and also get to partake in ceremonies and have this spiritual experience.
Yeah.
And the children, maybe they're not in ceremony, but they're still having a wonderful experience.
Yeah, that sounds excellent.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's really hard for a lot of parents to travel, right? And to leave their kids at home for a week and a half, 2 weeks, so they can go out and do all these things. I know for me, it's not an option. If I go to a retreat, I have to take my son. So it limits, you know, where I can go. But that's definitely what I would like to provide for families and parents.
Yeah. And I've found recently, just I don't know, in the last 6 months or so, that every time I have a medicine experience, the sort of prevailing message is like, go home and be with your family.
Oh.
And, you know, to have a place where you know, a family could like be together. And even if the kids are, you know, hanging out and doing stuff on the beach or whatever, and you know that they're safe and like having them nearby and, you know, at the end of the ceremony going, crawling into the hammock next to your kid or whatever. And, you know, just being able to like have them present. That'd be beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. It is. It's a great idea.
Isn't it the one thing you want after ceremony? Like before ceremony, you just want a break from the kids. Like, I just need a break. Give me like 3 hours and then I'll be great. And after ceremony, it's like, where's my son? I just want to go lay with him.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us how if our listeners are interested in the things that you have to offer, how they can find out more about what you do and get in touch with you.
Yeah. My website is Mindy West, spiritualliving.com. So you spell my name, MindyWest, and spiritualliving.com. Or you can find me on Facebook. You can just search for that. And I would love to have anyone email me or message me on Facebook if they're interested in learning more about what I do. And I offer complimentary 45-minute breakthrough sessions. So basically, we'll go through where you're at and where you want to be and how you can get there, how you can break through. So I would love to offer those sessions to anyone that's listening. As far as the online course, I'll have a webinar the 22nd through the 30th of this month. You can join my webinar to get the free tips on how to discover your life purpose in 30 days. Mm-hmm. And you'll learn the 4 things that you need to do to discover your purpose.
Cool.
And from there, I would love to have you on my online course. And it's not going to be just a course where you sign up and log in and that's everything. It will be really interactive. We'll have a Facebook group that I'll be posting little videos on and answering your questions all the time. We'll do group meditations, set up times to do things together as a group.
Nice.
Group, even though it's virtual, right. The energy still runs, mm-hmm. still works for all of us. So yeah, cool. I would love to have everyone join.
Right on. So we will include links in the program notes to your webinar and your website and all that stuff, so people can find out more if they're interested.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that going down this path of self-discovery is really scary for a lot of people, and myself included. It wasn't easy to pack up my house and move to the jungle with a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it wasn't easy moving back to America and all of a sudden not having a nanny and not having any help.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of fear that goes on when you're going on these big adventures. And there's a lot of fear the first time you drink that cup of ayahuasca and the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. And does it ever get easier? It does. It does. The fear starts to subside. There's always the nervousness, and at some point the desire to have a better life and be happier and explore what you really need to do in this world,
mm-hmm.
will outweigh that fear. So I guess I just like everyone to know that even though I'm, you know, on this podcast and I talk about it on Facebook and articles that I've written, it doesn't mean that it was any easier for me than anyone else. So just keep going through the fear and know that sometimes a bit of fear is really leading you in the right direction.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I really appreciate you having you on today, Mindy, and look forward to hearing more from you. And I'm definitely going to take part in your webinar. So I'm excited to see what you have to offer.
Cool. Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks so much for having me here.
Sure. So it's been a wonderful conversation, and we'll stay in touch.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.